Radio Free Sparrow.
Welcome to Radio Free Scarrow, episode number 382. I am Stephen in Edmonton.
Warren in Vancouver.
And Chris in Edmonton.
And it's a crazy weekend in all the science fiction universe. There's the Hooverville was yesterday as we record this up in England.
Derbyshire.
Somewhere. Derbyshire, thank you. I couldn't remember where it was. And of course, Dragon Con is going on right now, and World Con, Lone Star Con is going on in San Antonio, where they're handing out the Hugos tonight as we record this, and they're handing out the Parsec Awards in Atlanta tonight as well. We're up for one. Up against Chip and the Verity Girls for Best Fan Cast something something. But these things will actually be handed out after this episode is released, so this is our only chance to say,
as per usual.
Yeah, I know. This is our chance to say good luck to our fellow competitors.
Exactly. Except for Star Trek and Star Wars, who are also up against us. Not the actual franchise. Two podcasts based on them. Those guys can burn in hell.
I agree. I didn't like that new Star Trek film, so
no,
I'm going to take it out on that podcast.
Yep, it's their fault.
Mm-hmm. I watched it last night, finally, and quite liked it.
You're wrong.
I'm not spoiling anything, but there's some stuff at the end that I didn't cut into it.
A lot of cringeworthy moments, but the ride was fun.
No, it's terrible. I hated it.
No.
Hated it.
That was
worst Star Trek ever.
No.
Highest grossing Star Nemesis. Trek ever.
Oh, well, that's great. Nickelback also sold out their concert tour. Are they the best band ever? No, they're not.
Yep. Every time you play a Nickelback song, a kitten dies.
Several kittens die. They maul each other. That's what happens when you play a Nickelback song.
They turn feral and turn on one another.
They're trying to kill Nickelback, but they don't know better, so they just kill each other.
Mm-hmm. Dreadful. How do we get on this? We were all happy, and then all of a sudden we talk about Nickelback and kittens mauling each other. Terrible.
It's a slippery slope once you start talking about Star Trek.
I know. Let's talk about stats instead. Oh, God. First thing off the bat, we talk about stats. Yeah, Doctor Who Prawn. Did you watch? I haven't watched it. I didn't watch it yet.
It's fun. I watched it the other day. It's the staging is magnificent. It's really, really good.
Sorry, take your word for it.
That's all I'm saying because I'm going to sip some coffee here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I listened to the thing live as it went out, so it wasn't necessarily a surprise to me, so I didn't really... Yeah. But they did chop a few bits out. Murray Gold's Dirge for 50 got the chop, and a couple other things in early on, I think, to fit the 75-minute time slot, because I think it was like a 2.5-hour show. They probably cut out all the... Did they cut out, like, the classical music as well, or did they just stick to Doctor Who, Chris? Do you remember
this? It was just the Doctor Who stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, more importantly, they didn't cut out Classic Who montage.
Well, they didn't cut the Classic Who montage, no. That was very much in there. Even tiny little snippet interviews with Peter Howell and Mark Ayers.
Awesome.
But,
I'm surprised they didn't.
I know in... Steve and I didn't listen to it live, but I know in past Doctor Who Proms, they would do like the interludes with normal classical music, and no, that was not included.
Okay.
But that was on the radio one, as I recall.
Oh, it certainly was because it was broadcast live. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's tough to edit out things live. And now we present to you 7 minutes of complete silence. Because that classical music has gotten way too much of our time over the past 150 years.
Yeah, jerks.
Exactly. Anyway, 1.2 million viewers watched that 13.3% share. That was on a bank holiday and at 4 in the afternoon. So I guess that's your typical Sarah Jane Adventures ratings that they used to get.
Prom stats. We have. Yeah. We're just kittens murdering each other right now.
Yeah. Back to Nickelback.
Back to. Oh God, no! Can we give a hat tip to David Frost, please, who died just a few minutes before we started recording?
Way to go, Frost! You were pretty awesome.
Are you giving him a hat tip because he died?
No,
we're showing respect.
Yeah, showing respect for it.
Even his Al Jazeera stuff was good.
Oh, really? I see. Now, I must admit, I'm probably not up on his career as you are, Warren. What has he done over his illustrious career? Oh, apart from interviewing Nixon, of course.
But. I don't have all the stuff, but yeah, in his later years, he was on Al Jazeera English, and he was quite good. He was kind of like one of their anchor guys. Not anchor as in an anchor of a show, but anchor.
But a cornerstone.
One of their mainstays. Yeah, cornerstone, exactly. So he was quite decent there as well. Mm.
Known for his Al Jazeera work, David Frost, Edit 74.
And nothing else, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about some DVD stuff, because there's some interesting stuff coming down the pipe. Coming November 19th in North America, not the second Tuesday, which would be November 12th, but November 19th, the 10th Planet,
but also,
Region 1.
Also the Tuesday DVD closest to the anniversary.
That's true. But they usually come out the second Tuesday, but instead, it's coming out on the 18th, the 10th Planet is, in the UK, the 19th in North America, Region 1, and in Australia and everywhere else, coming out November 20th. So look at that, a nice little timed release for the 10th Planet, the week leading up to the 50th anniversary, yep. Which is pretty cool. We mentioned a bunch of the extras that cleared, last week or 2 weeks ago. But the BBC at DoctorWho.tv had the full list of, like, you know, people who were in the commentary and everything like that. But I'm too tired to read all about that now, so you just click the link in the show notes and it'll take you there, and you can investigate all that you need to know.
Yep.
There you go. And no, the actual episode 4 of the 10th Planet is not on there. So stop looking for things. It's not there. Deal with it.
Stop being inquisitive.
Yeah,
the animation is pretty cool.
It is. I have seen bits of it, and it's pretty cool. They also have the as we said, I think last week or something. They also have the recon from the VHS release from 2002.
Yeah, which is pretty good. I like the way they did it, because the recon is like a not really picture in picture, but like there's a smaller frame with stuff in the background, like always saying, you know, if they're at the space station or in the TARDIS,
yeah, like
or whatever.
The little narration stuff sort of describe things that are happening on screen that you can't really see because, you know, the pictures aren't moving and stuff.
I guess, but it's nice that they included it, because I think that's still the first and only official BBC recon, yes.
Full length one. They did that.
I mean, not counting the Galaxy 4 stuff, which isn't full length, or the Marco Polo, mm-hmm. or
Ice Warriors
from Lice, or Ice Warriors, or Reign of Terror. Yeah.
You but said Lice Warriors.
I want to see the Lice Warriors. This is itchy guys.
They're pretty small though. I bet you Lice Warriors. If they want to fight them,
just,
you know,
they're just humans and they're itchy, but they love the Ice Warriors. So they wear the helmets, and they scratch themselves.
To protect from lice?
Yeah, this is how do I put this? A fan film.
I think he's
starring Nickelback.
Is it an official fan film? I mean, it doesn't sound like the Doctor's involved. Warren,
and if it's official, is it canon? Oh, by the way, according to your good wife, Erica, apparently there was a Doctor Who canon panel at Dragon Con that she was very glad to not be in. I was like, wow, there'd be some murder in that room if I was there. It wouldn't be good.
What's canon and what's not?
Yep.
Yeah.
There'd be some heated arguments, I'm sure.
A horrible idea for a panel. Everybody's got their own canon, and everyone is correct. Done.
Except for everybody else. That's true. I'm a sophist. Yeah. Everything revolves around me.
I said sophist. And
I said sophist, yes.
Sofa?
That's what I said, sophist. Sophists were a bunch of philosophers in Greece who thought everything revolved around them. So there you go. I'm a sophist.
Oh, okay. I was thinking like sofas, and you spend most of your time on the sofa.
Well, that too. As a fan, that is true. But
that's very true. I think most fans are sophists when you think about it.
I want to start a new philosophy of sophism, which is just sitting on the sofa.
Well, you're halfway there.
Yep, done. And I've announced it.
High priests or Nickelback?
Oh, no. Get Nickelback out of here.
Oh, come on, done. Thinking of bleeping the moat. Speaking of Cybermen and animation and DVDs, the animation proofs for the Moon Base were released by Pup Limited this past week. Two of them. One is just Troughton's, a medium close-up of Troughton, and then one with that looks very much like the cover of what Meet the Beatles or something like that, with Hobson and the four TARDIS team there on there. It's funny that they're signing off for these things, given the thing is supposed to come out in 2 months. So obviously, the Moon Base has been delayed. Doctor Who magazine inferred that on Twitter. Twitter as well this past week. So nothing right now in the slot that occupied it. October 21st is the intended release date for the moon base, but it's probably going to come out in 2014 now.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's too
bad. What's that?
That's too bad. I'm looking forward to the moon base. I quite like this story. It's not the strongest, but I quite like it. I enjoy watching the two episodes we do have, and I look forward to a proper complete one. Like, I've watched Recons, but it's not the same.
No, really isn't. Because you get, like, 8th generation VHS quality and stuff.
Quite
some
often,
some nerd
yes.
narrating.
No nerds narrating, usually. Oh, really? That's not canon, Warren.
Yeah. Oh, of course not.
Yeah. A lot of them will use the original audio track. Some will use, like, the one with linking narration Beep. From the CDs. And
yeah.
I tried watching one once, and I couldn't do it. It just was, I was like, although, I have seen one where they do this sort of, I can't remember which one it is, but they have this sort of like little fake device that you're watching the recon stuff on. And it was quite well made. It actually looked like a kind of device you'd see in a 60s Doctor Who. So I had to give them credit for that. Mm. Can I tell you which one it was? No, of course not.
Oh, I thought you were saying, can I? No, it's a secret. It's a spoiler.
Oh, yeah, it's a total secret, this thing they released to the world. Yeah. Don't tell anybody.
Speaking of, I just want to throw this in because they're trying something new at Long Island Who this year, where they're actually doing a live audio commentary of a recon. They're doing episode three of Marco Polo, because Wars Hussein's going to be there. So it caused a bit of a tizzy on various portions of the internet that should remain unnamed when they saw that on the website. It says Marco Polo Part 3 live commentary at Long Island 2, and everyone thought, oh my god, they're showing the real one. No, it's just the recon.
Because of course they do that at a convention. Nerds, just sit back and think for a second. Come on.
Well, it was intriguing to see that pop up.
So you were one of those nerds, were you?
No. I was not on my sofa at the time that I saw this.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with the idea of doing a recon commentary. Mm-hmm. But I kind of do, because that's...
It seems fraught with difficulty.
Well, it's going to be damnably awkward.
Really, it'll probably be... This is us planning a convention here, Ken.
Thinking back to when I watched the Marco, or at least the version I saw anyway, of a Marco Polo recon, what sticks out of my mind is half the thing is a picture of a map with a voiceover.
That's the old one, because... Loose Cannon, the good fellows who make these, we cut them down a little bit, but really they put a lot of hard work into these things and really offer the only visual representation of missing episodes of Doctor Who. But they did, their first one was all color, based almost purely on the Radio Times photo shoot of Marco Polo for the cover. They took so many pictures of that they could base an entire recon off that. But then Waris Hussein did a rustle around in his basement one day and found all the telesnaps for the episodes he directed, all but Part 4. So they made a second one, which is all telesnap version, more or less. So I imagine it's going to be that one that will be the one that is seen. So basically what you would probably have, as I said again, Ken, as we plan your convention, is that you would have an interview with Waris Hussein about Marco Polo. Almost,
with a slideshow, basically.
With slideshow going on behind you. That's pretty much what it'll
amount
to.
Also, the words Doctor Who convention and damnably awkward are not strangers at all.
Yeah. Unless, of course, they just happen to find Marco Polo before November 8th and allow the world premiere of a story not seen in 50 years.
I think I just heard Gallifrey Base having an aneurysm.
Could be. It's on lockdown now. Speaking of, like, interesting stuff in regards to... I don't know where I'm going with this, but no. I just found this intriguing. I'm just looking at the next thing. BBC Three show celebrating 50 years of Doctor Who. That's coming down the pipe, according to comedian Tom Crane. He filmed a segment for it.
Well, I hope there's an interview with Reggie Watt.
You might be lucky.
Probably not.
China's been getting a lot of stuff. Last week,
they've been getting more.
I know. Last week we talked about... This weird
alluded to, yeah.
Yeah, we alluded to it, that's right. They showed the tail end of a special called Doctor Who Explained, which is coming out sometime before the anniversary special, but I don't know where. BBC America haven't even announced it. And they also showed a promo with Chinese subtitles from BBC Worldwide promoting the 50th anniversary.
I can hardly wait.
I know!
I want to see the translation of that. Crazy man is in a box.
It's dialogue. And also, there's a big Doctor Who event on, I think, September 16th at the British Embassy in Beijing. Seriously, it's a Doctor Who event. Huh. They don't even get it there.
If I still lived in Beijing, which thankfully I do not, I would go to that. I would find a way.
Yeah, that'd be something to go to. I there's no announcement of who's going to be there or what's going on. I think it's just because China has like forbidden time travel films or something in their country.
Luckily, there's very little time travel in Doctor Who. So.
Yeah, so hence Doctor Who never actually being aired in China until perhaps now. Who knows?
My weirdest yet is still watching it in Egypt.
Dubbed into Arabic?
No, it was in English.
You
it was
watched
on
it live.
English channel. It was on a kids channel with subtitles, but it was on some Dubai station, I think.
That was a Christmas special one year, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't the Christmas special. It was something... I downloaded that. I used all of Egypt's bandwidth and delayed the revolution by a year. By downloading the Christmas special.
Right. I remember you on Christmas one year, so or in Egypt for Christmas one year, so I can remember which.
Yes,
but.
I did watch that, but I think it was Evolution of the Daleks, I hasten to say. But I was like, Doctor Who in Egypt? Well, I'm watching even this crap.
Yeah. I think it wasn't even from Egypt, wasn't it? Wasn't a station from Dubai?
No, it was
like
from
that?
Dubai, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I missed that.
He's just the worst fan.
I think subconsciously you picked it up and regurgitated it.
Quite possibly. Yeah. Or perhaps I just felt like regurgitating things because of the next
earliness of the hour.
Do the link. Earliness of the hour, but I was also talking about the new products that are being offered from Lavarzi's, who makes scarves and such, and they're making a fourth Doctor season 18 scarf.
Not to the proper length, but yes, they are.
So therefore, it's a failure.
That's a YouTube comment of scarves.
Yeah. There's a hanky. You can get a Seventh Doctor hanky and an actual Seventh Doctor pullover. The one that Sylvester McCoy hated. You can get it now.
Yeah, that's the one that caught my eye.
Is it the proper length?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But wow, like, yeah.
Well, the scarf itself is basically to scale. It's 13 feet long and 10 inches wide.
Yes.
Which is basically like, you know, who's going to wear a 28-foot scarf walking?
Nerds.
Please don't wear 28-foot scarves.
Nerds totally will.
26.
It became 28 by the end of the season.
I've got a season 18 scarf.
You haven't stretched it out like Tom Baker did after a whole season of shooting now, have
not
you?
A further 2 feet, no, but it's...
It's canon!
It's at the proper 26-foot length. But yes, it's very unwieldy, so even a 13-foot scarf would be extremely unwieldy.
That won't stop nerds.
No.
I'm really hot. Should I take the scarf off? Never!
We just delved into a really dark place.
Yeah, we did.
Our argument...
Scarfists.
Scarfists. I'm much more of a sophist.
Picking up the mantle scarfist for the knitting community. That's us, yeah.
I think that's you on this one.
Yeah, just take that hit.
I'm seriously wondering who the hell is going to buy the Seventh Doctor knitted jumper.
Somebody will.
I mean, there must have been somebody out there who bought those... Well, I guess we saw several at Galley, like those Doctor costume T-shirts.
Yeah. T-shirts, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's an easy way to wear a costume, quote unquote. It's not a good way, but it is an easy way.
Says the guy that wore a tuxedo T-shirt to a wedding. Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah,
so.
That was awesome. That's much more witty and funny. There's a certain verve to that.
That's got the classicness to it.
Exactly.
There's a timeless factor
and a touch of heavy metal as well.
Oh, yes, because if anything, Warren, you are heavy metal.
I am, from the couch, as a sophist.
Yes.
That's right.
You and your love of hair bands.
Oh, love them. Don't hate them. So anyway, keep going.
Now, moving on. Warren.
Yes.
Christopher Burgess has died.
Oh, no. He's speaking to us. Perhaps this is his ghost.
We mock a sad event, really. Yeah. The actor Christopher Burgess, who was in three Barry Letts directed stories: Enemy of the World, Terror of the Autons, and Planet of Spiders, died this past week, mere days before he's about to be interviewed by Toby Haydock for Who's Around. So that's what's kind of sad, because they had arranged it and everything, and then he died sadly. So
that was sad. Right?
He was old, pretty old.
He was 86, I think he was, wasn't he? Something like that.
Well, we've got the producer miniscopes coming up, and we pre-recorded with Toby for one of them. And we were talking to him, I forget if it was before or after, but about my namesake. And Toby had mentioned then that he was in ill health. And so it didn't come as a complete surprise, but it's still kind of sad because I was kind of just, you know, just squeed a little bit watching.
It's got to be a bit weird to read your own name in print as having died. I can't say I've ever experienced that, so. Or I mean, obviously it's not you, but it's just weird. You know what I mean? Like, What? I was not informed.
And also just seeing your name in the credits in Doctor Who.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was always a trip back in the day.
Mm-hmm. And also, Gerard Murphy has died. At age 64, he's fighting cancer for the past 2.5 years. He was in Silver Nemesis, of course, as Richard,
yep.
The servant of Lady Painford.
Thankless role.
Yeah. That was sad, really. A lot of people were very surprised and saddened by that news.
That's pretty young.
It is.
I know. Yeah. And he narrated the 1981 BBC radio adaptation of Lord of the Rings, too.
Well, that's cool. He had a good voice. Yeah.
He did, but I when I saw that, I thought, well, that can't be him, because that was like 1981, and I thought he was quite young in Silver Nemesis, and you wouldn't trust narration to such a prestigious production to a toddler. But
toddler, yes.
But he would have been 30s-ish.
Yeah, I early know. 30s, probably.
Exactly, yeah. A toddler. One last thing. If you're in Australia, Patrick McGee is going to perform every episode of Doctor Who live on stage in November or something like that. Is that the fact you can order tickets online here at the link that we've sent you at the Factory Floor in Marksville, New South Wales, Australia. I like this. I like it when they do these. Like, I'll literally perform all 798 episodes in an hour in September 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th. But it looks
I can't
wait for a nerd to get angry because the censor rights isn't properly represented.
Yeah,
you skipped over.
Yeah,
we'll just serve poisoned water as an homage to the censor rights. wasn't that the plan of the Oods for their show last November that ended up getting canceled? Something along that line, or all
they did
all
something
of,
similar.
All of, no, I think it was all of New Who in an hour or something.
It was all New Who. Yeah, they're doing all Who, these three and a half comedians in an hour all live on stage.
How do you have three and a half comedians?
I don't know. That's part short. Of the thing. Yeah, there you go. See, one of the that's the thing. That's
like
the stick.
Hired Deep Roy or something.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, why not? He's still around.
Deep Roy from Star Trek Into Darkness.
Is he in that? Oh, he's that. He's
He's also Scotty's. An Eastbound and Down.
Wow. What a career for Deep Roy.
Yeah, I know. He gets around.
Who will probably not be appearing in this thing. But if you're in Australia and you want to see this, like I said, check out the link in the show notes and go support him in this worthy cause for fun. Because I like the varied quality. The varied... projects that fans and such are putting on for the 50th anniversary, because it's really proving what Peter Capaldi said when he was announced as Doctor Who. You know, everyone made Doctor Who, and it's a very fan friendly, fan oriented sort of anniversary year, and that the fans have to do it themselves because there's nothing else on TV for Doctor
Who. Very fan friendly, unless you go to the forums.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, that's never fan-friendly. That's never human-friendly, so.
No. No. Now, for the first time, this podcast will mention what's coming up immediately after this sentence. We're doing a commentary. The last of our time-filling series for the summer of 2013, Sean Homreg drops by to talk about the name of the Doctor. And now for the commentary portion of this podcast to celebrate the end of Series 7B with a commentary on the name of the Doctor. And we bring into the studio of some sort with us today Mr. Sean Homreg of TARDIS Tavern.
Yay!
And the Doctor Who Book Club Podcast. Yay!
Hooray, etc.
Thank you so much, gentlemen, for having me. I'm excited. I've just poured myself an Everclear.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. No. Not tonight.
Do you drink? Obviously, you drink during the TARDIS Tavern, but do you actually drink during the Book Club podcast too, or no?
I drink coffee.
Wow. See, that is an intelligent podcast. No offense to the TARDIS Tavern, of course. It's obviously Steve bringing it down then.
I doubt he will ever hear this, so you can say whatever you want.
Well, good. We'll delve into that over the next 45 and a half minutes, I reckon, when we talk about the episode. I assume you all have your legally purchased DVD Blu-ray copies. Shut up, Warren. I have to do this. DVD Blu-ray copies, legal downloads. Yes, good.
Mm-hmm. Is that the Major League Baseball thing? Is that what you're doing?
More or less, yeah. This is a paid telecast. Anyway, Warren, even though you're hearing this a month later, everyone, Warren's in a hurry, so we got to get going.
Let's get
Warren,
going.
Warren only has implied oral consent right now.
Yeah, and it starts.
And hopefully ends. All right.
Already.
Here we go, then. The name of the doctor in 3, 2, 1, play.
And the gloriousness begins.
Yes.
Look at that. Yep. Oh, look at this.
Nothing like a Gallifrey repair shop to get the
juices flowing. Yeah, look at those jumpsuits. They're awesome.
Are these guys anyone? Because that one right there talking looks familiar.
No.
I think it's Andred.
That's he got demoted.
Andred in his first...
oh, that's right. I guess he wouldn't be demoted.
Andred and Kellner both.
And Squee in 3, 2, 1. Here it is!
Yay!
Walking into the TARDIS.
Shocking lack of representation of classic Doctors in the 50th anniversary special that I haven't seen yet, but I'm so angry about Moffat!
Is Claire wearing a Marco Polo outfit there? I think she was.
She's wearing the same thing that the technicians are wearing.
Yeah.
I don't think that he would listen to her, though, now that I'm thinking about it.
I love this is the only part that Colby's costume shows up in. They're just, it existed. Okay, yeah. Moving on. Oh, I can't believe I did her. Some people actually had the gall to complain about the effect.
I know.
Yes.
Yep.
They could have done better. Okay, you show us how then, genius.
Lots of people complained, but yeah.
Well, they're jerks. They're all jerks, every last one of them. You complained, you're a jerk.
Well, I think part of it is less that they use the old stuff and it looks so bad because, 545 line, whatever. But I mean, the fact that you're putting in the new stuff looks too good. It's not that the old stuff looks so bad. It's that the new stuff looks too good.
You have to dumb it down.
Show me a better solution.
Exactly.
Obviously, CG representations of all 11 Doctors. We had this talk before. Yeah, so angry.
Can anybody tell me where Troughton is running to in Malibu in his coat?
I want to say he's probably location scouting for
somewhere with air conditioning. Day. That's where. It's like, God, this coat is hot. Rather than take it off, I'm going to find an air conditioned place.
He's definitely scouting locations for Miracle Day.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I know. That's what.
And again,
you were spoken over as you spoke your thing.
Thanks, Chris. I spoke over you while saying that.
There you go.
Warren's still trying to. Warren, now we're on the Doctor's time now. All right. We can't play this episode any faster. If we did this in the UK, we'd be watching it.
Oh, no, I'm just reacting to being scolded by talking over.
Oh.
Publicly shamed for talking over.
No.
Which I didn't actually do. No. But anyway.
I'm going to blame Mr. Guy here.
Whisperman.
He's publicly shaming people right now. This guy's probably a podcaster.
Yeah.
He's podcasting into thin air.
You know, I think he escaped from the Apple 1984 commercial. Huh.
That's a reference I don't know.
I would probably hate this guy if he was in the RTD era because it sort of falls in line with all the prophecies and foretellings that they were doing back in those days. But
bah! Rebus Operation.
I hated that.
Creature from the Pit, come on.
Was
the little prequel that they did for this, was that actually filmed as part of this episode and then taken out for time? The part that explains how he knows who the Whispermen are and whatnot?
I think it was always intended to be a prequel. And it is actually a prequel. That's a great thing about that prequel.
Yep. The only one that actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question. If you're going to lock this guy for being crazy, wouldn't you also lock her up for being a lizard?
But see, she dresses posh. She wears her face so you can't posh tell lizard, she's a lizard.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Just because it's see-through and you can see she's a lizard does not mean you can see she's a lizard.
Gotcha. Makes total sense.
She's a lady.
Even though she totally exposes herself several times.
Loves a lady.
Now, you like this this episode, right, Sean?
Yeah, which is ironic because people call me a Moffat hater, but I'm not a big, huge Moffat fan, but I don't hate him. But I think this is some of his best work.
Mm-hmm. Good. It's funny how this all worked out is in that we had all of our guests on the commentaries pretty much were some of the episode's biggest fans.
And this...
Right there is the grandfather of Peter Capaldi.
That is not Pat Roach, the guy from Raiders who fights Indiana Jones with
sweet.
The plane.
It'd be cool if it was.
Are you talking about the one that walks into the propeller?
Yeah.
Yep.
Pat Roach. He does a name check.
Nicely done. You can stick your Apple Net 84 references right up your butt, Chris. You win, Mr. Humrick.
He looks like it. I mean, look at that. No, Pat Roach is
totally
dead.
He does look like him. Yeah.
Oh.
He looks like he looked 30 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ironically enough, Dan Starkey is not any relation to Harrison Ford either. Fame.
I don't think that's ironic or unlikely. Mm. This is nice. It's good times.
Mm. Probic vent, man. Probic vent.
That would kill him, though.
No, it knocks him out.
It would stun them. It would stun them first.
You have to
I don't have the knowledge of Santaran physiology.
You have to enter the probic vent, i.e., with an arrow, in order for it to kill.
Of course. Hal the Archer can do that.
I want to say this table is actually a reference to the Death Zone little board game that Barusa had in The Five Doctors.
I think you'll find
it's a reference to the five-sided TARDIS console.
It's a table.
Yeah, really. Really.
Warren, your lack of references is infuriating me and disappointing me, too.
I was just about to say that this is, not this particular bit, but this entire story is triple grade A fan wank of the highest order, and I'm not insulting it. I love it.
But it's got built-in acid trips.
Yeah, so much the better. It's got references to The Prisoner back there, psychedelic things.
Look at the crap going on behind Strax on the screen. That is totally psychedelic.
It's like a massage parlor.
What exactly are you arguing?
Nothing at all.
No.
Okay.
I think that's all.
Nothing at all.
I think that's all a reference to the acid trips that Craig Ferguson and Peter Capaldi used to drop in the early 80s.
It definitely is.
Here is the one bad part about this show.
I actually forgot they were in here at all, because I remember the scene with the Doctor, you know, chasing around playing blind man's bluff and whatnot, but I had forgotten they were in here, period.
I think we just sort of willed it to be.
Yes.
This is a great little scene about
I like to think that when the Great Intelligence jumped into his timeline, he erased this bit.
And the children altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Which means Clara had no job to go to, so there's some other alternate reality out there, which the fanfic dutifully explores, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure it does. That's just great. Thanks, fanfic. You're a big help. My coworker was saying, you know, there's as much Doctor Who Expanded Universe as there is Star Wars Expanded Universe. I'm like, yeah, and it doesn't count either.
No, you're right, it doesn't.
Unless George Lucas says it counts.
Yeah.
What George Lucas says about Doctor Who means nothing to me.
Oh, touche.
I remember when I had all my little Doctor Who books as a kid, the BBC Adventures, the New Adventures, trying to line them all up chronologically as they took place on my shelf. Yeah. And then they throw in a book with Frobisher in it and the Sixth Doctor. It's just all...
Where do I put this one?
Yeah.
Before Mark of the Rani?
I know, I'll flush it down the toilet.
Oh, it's her.
You mean River?
Yeah, that one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The one with the hair.
In her, one would assume and hope her final appearance in Doctor Who, given how well written it was.
Yes,
I really think it's not her last appearance.
I hope it is. He probably intends for it to be her last appearance, and then somewhere along the lines he's going to be like, oh, hell, this story would be perfect with River in it. Let's put her back in.
The thing is, I really like River as a guy. I know some people just hate her. I quite like her. I think she's one of the best things about the Matt Smith era. But this is a great way to just end it off, though, I have to say.
Yeah. As Erica from Verity, my wife, said, she enters the show saying hello, sweetie, and her last line in this is goodbye, sweetie.
We'll talk about it later, but that whole scene is brilliant.
Oh, yeah. That's a Gallifrey base user right there.
Or a bleeding cool user. Why do I have to read this crap? What am I thinking?
Also, I think that's probably the first time we've seen space-time coordinates visually represented. Is that right? Or
well, certainly by pixie dust.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Or drugs with a Z.
Two Zs, I believe.
Drugs.
I think it finds three Zs, the middle of which is capitalized.
That's the Queen's English for drugs, ZS.
Yeah.
this whole bit where they're all maybe it's not quite there yet. Yeah, okay, yeah, this bit is quite decent.
Yeah,
quite well done.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've been murdered. What is that? What she says?
Something along those lines. Yeah.
Let's just predict the rest of the episode 4 minutes before it happens.
I will predict this thing I've already seen. I'm a genius somehow. Ooh, things got all... Oh, no. Okay, I thought they were deliberately changing the mood lighting, but not so much.
He doesn't like endings. That means it's a reference to Matt Smith not even appearing in the Christmas special.
Oh, I'm preemptively angry again.
Yeah.
So this is Fan Wake, okay. And we like it.
Yeah.
But 3 years from now, will we like this for anything besides the fact that it's Fan Wake?
Yeah, there's some great performances in this.
Imagine watching The Five Doctors in 1983.
No, that's...
You know, and then again in 1986. I'd still love it to death.
I still love it again in 2013.
And we don't know how this is going to play out with the 50th anniversary yet, or the Christmas special even. Like, taken as a whole, that's how I'll judge this thing.
It's a bridge to the 50th anniversary special, really. Mm-hmm. It's a prequel.
But if the 50th, let's say it, I don't think it's going to, but let's say it sucks, then that colors this a little bit. You know what I mean? Much like I really enjoyed Stolen Earth, Drilling Journey's End, not so much. Yeah. I really enjoyed Utopian Sound of Drums. Last Time Lord is terrible, you know? So that kind of sours the whole deal.
I really thought that she'd had it here. I was kind of scared. I like how they throw in the speak to his boy in the middle of this very tense scene now.
I also like how she got vaporized in a 1980s vision mixer manner.
Yeah.
With little crappy pixels. Oh, hi, how's it going? These guys don't really do a hell... I was going to say they don't do a hell of a lot, but they do actually reach into his heart or her heart or somebody's heart and cause a whole bunch of trouble.
Yeah.
And turn into Richard E. Grant.
Yes. Who wouldn't?
Have you heard a lot of criticism that these guys are just sort of rip-offs of the gentleman from Buffy?
I don't listen to
criticism of Buffy or anything to do with Buffy, so yeah. I would say it's a bigger ripoff of The Silence than anything else.
Yeah,
I think these are just part of the Buffy expanded universe.
Okay.
I don't know. I've seen a total of four episodes of Buffy, and I will never watch it anymore.
I don't hate Buffy or anything. I just don't care.
Check out the episode called Hush, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Also,
is that
read,
the one with the musical?
No.
That's Once More with Feeling.
Oh, okay.
And they're also, we just read a book for the Doctor Who book club called The Tomorrow Windows that features villains that are similar.
It features me.
Yeah. And Jonathan Morris, in a way, about which
more. How are you in this? Explain, please.
I love the way she says this at the cinema. I just love how she just very quietly and under her breath says, at the cinema.
And he curses them out by calling them the little Daleks.
Yeah.
That is cute.
Oh, that's right. You did the reading for that book.
Okay. I thought you were in the book. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
No.
Are you insane, crazy person?
Oh, probably, but...
I said last week about how I thought perhaps Nightmare in Silver was Matt Smith's least best performance in Doctor Who. And then he comes on with this. I remember watching this whole scene and just thinking, oh my God.
Did you cry along with him, Stephen?
I always cry when Matt Smith or Bernard Cribbins cry.
What about David Tennant?
You do not let an 80-year-old man cry alone. That's my rule when I watch Bernard Cribbins on Doctor Who.
No, but you let him drink alone.
Never.
If Bernard Cribbins was drinking alone, I would make a point, even if he didn't want me to drink with him.
Yeah.
He'd be like, look, set off. That's nice that he's hiding underneath.
Mm-hmm. In his safe spot. His men den, if you will.
It's hardly a man cave.
All right.
I did shed a tear when he says goodbye to River Song. I thought that was very touching.
Mm. Oh, how nice. All right, so he's going to plug the coordinates into Clara's mind, and the TARDIS will follow that, but it doesn't like that, which is why it does not like Clara earlier in the season, right?
Explain.
Sure.
It's never been explained. That's why I'm asking, you know...
This sounds like embedded universe wizardry.
I'm trying to explain. I'm just saying is that that's...
The silence and the explosion of the TARDIS has yet to be explained either.
Oh, don't hold your breath.
An answer to that straight away.
Lots of things ain't explained.
Yeah. How did the sixth Doctor die and regenerate into the seventh? Was it really just a fall off an exercise bike?
Poorly.
I have been waiting since 1987 to find out the answer to
the
that.
The seventh,
I blame Moffitt for not
seventh Doctor killed him.
Carrot juice overdose.
Came back in time and betrayed him and killed him somehow.
Which non-canon story are you referring to? In a book.
I don't know. I just read about it, but I didn't read the book.
Oh. You thought it was that regeneration energy coming off him. It was jaundice.
Colin Baker's doctor tried to dress up as Melanie and he suffocated himself.
That seems reasonable. The doctor is played by David Carradine.
Or Michael Hutchins. Yeah.
All right.
I'm sure there's a couple other ones. A couple other perverts.
Really hoping we wouldn't go there. But.
Well, here we are.
Warren, way to open the door. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm not proud of it.
Yeah, way to let it in, Warren.
Let the right one in, i.e. not Chris.
Wasn't that a Spike Lee movie?
Oh. No!
It's about vampires. It's from Sweden.
You're thinking of Do the Right Thing.
Yes.
Cool, same thing.
Oh, so much rage.
Which we were talking about right before you picked up, Chris, actually.
Yeah.
But that's tangent to this recording.
It is. Right, we're talking about Doctor Who. This is Saul Metstein's, fifth or sixth episode of the entire Series 7?
He does good work.
He does. It's easy, he says. Just set up the cameras, let them do their thing.
Well, I got a feeling it ain't that easy.
No.
He personally did all the CGI in this episode too, oddly enough.
Of course he did, using only his hands.
Yeah.
Yep. And a video toaster.
Yeah, and a video toaster. An Amiga 2000. That's actually the smoke that came out of it when he did that.
3D rendering. There's no third dimension on the Amiga.
There's no third dimension anywhere.
Oh, I have to disagree. I used Lightwave 3D in 1994 for school. Poorly, I might add. But I did.
On an Amiga?
Yeah, we had a video toaster at school.
Cool.
Really?
That was neat.
It was at the Northern Alberta Institute of Technology, television production program.
Oh, okay. Nice. Oh, you're in high school or something.
No, this is college. But yes, we had a video toaster. We also had a video toaster that I never used at a cable company I worked at. And then the video toaster just kind of died out.
Is that Mustafa right there? I don't know.
Mustafar, you mean?
Yeah, Mustafar.
Rafiki is in there somewhere, probably.
Mustafa is from The Lion King.
Yeah.
Oh, you add an R to it, and it's a Star Wars planet, is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's basically how it works. Okay. So here's what I want to know.
Yeah.
That's some bad CG right there. You want to talk about bad effects. That is the bad effect in this thing.
Yes.
Although that, flying, burning part isn't too bad. It's not completely left.
But the flying, burning part and the
broken window?
Yeah.
Wrong size.
Yeah.
Fun fact here, coming up, you'll see a name on a tombstone. Clemency Bunn is the name of one of the set designers. Go to clemencybunn.com and you can see all the work that she has done. She's not credited, but she's done work on the sets. Probably on that tombstone.
Is that where Yoda's buried? Is that what those things are? Or are they like half Jewish, half vampire? Like, what is that? What exactly is that tombstone supposed to be like? They do kind of nicely avoid any religious iconography here.
I'm clicking on this link now.
That one.
Oh, look at that. There's Matt Smith right there on the clemencybunn.com.
Here's what I want to know. What is Capaldi's sonic screwdriver going to look like? Are they going to go big, classic, ridiculous?
It's going to be basically a pen torch, just like Chowton had. Taking it right back to the beginning.
Look at
it's gonna
that
be a harmonica.
It's going to be a Sharpie.
This is cool, I gotta say.
What, the giant TARDIS?
Yeah, all the little things you don't think of and go, oh, yeah, that makes total sense. Of course they do it that way.
Just notice that it's got the crack in the glass, too. I've never noticed that before.
It's got a bit of a few more cracks, too, though.
Now, here's my cockamamie theory, which I told Steven, and he was very angry to hear.
Okay.
And that is that Matt Smith is, in fact, the last Doctor of his line. And then, in the 50th anniversary special, John Hurt will regenerate into Capaldi, and that'll be the next...
Warren, you are making me angry.
That gets past this whole 13 regeneration nonsense, which they could just... Of course, it'll never happen. But that's just my idea.
And that's why
the TARDIS is the current TARDIS. There's a crack in the door or window and all that.
Oh,
brilliant.
You're terrible. You are a terrible person.
How am I a terrible person?
Just because.
Wait. So John Hurt regenerates into Capaldi, who regenerates into Eccleston?
No. Peter Cushing.
No. Oh. No, Matt Smith is, in fact, the 11th and last Doctor. And then the 12th Doctor is Capaldi, because What's-His-Face redeems himself because so he can take the name of the Doctor on, and he becomes Capaldi. And then you get past all this regeneration.
Isn't this how Spider-Man came about in a recent...
Yes. Where does the Valyar fit into this?
It doesn't. It's complete fan wank that I just made up. But
where were you? No, it's canon. What were you doing when you made that up? That's
You've completely disregarded the Morbius Doctors. Your theory is bunk.
Oh. My theory, which is bunk, turns out to be bunk.
My Doctor's regeneration timeline includes one that looks just like Graham Harper.
And mine includes the Shalka Doctor. And Rowan Atkinson.
And David Warner.
So we're already on Doctor 15 or 16 now.
Oh, we are in the 50s now, I think. And those fan films that I made back when I was 16.
Out of Lego.
Nick Briggs' fan films.
Yeah.
And everybody else's fan films. And so every sweaty nerd who's ever pretending he's a doctor in a crappy paper set.
Warren's friend Eric is the 23rd Doctor.
He was never the Doctor.
I will say this, though, about that crack in the window is actually on the crack on the regular size TARDIS was on one of the doors, whereas that is just on the side of the TARDIS.
So you're saying there's some inconsistency.
Yep. So it's not that crack. Warren, your entire theory is shot to hell.
My head's going to explode.
Oh, I know.
My theory is junk to begin with. It's just a brain teaser to annoy. And annoy it did. Checking your BlackBerry, are you, sir? That's your first problem.
Who's Drax? Oh, he is, too.
I'm almost tired of Drax. Almost.
Nah. Oh, I shall have to ask you to shut up, Sean.
The horse gag and the Tom gag and Crimson Horror.
Yeah,
that's where it's starting to wear on me.
That's not Strax's fault.
I'm kind of getting there with you, Sean.
I'm there with the calling girls boys, which is ironic. But I don't know. We'll never have a good Centaur episode because of Strax. Maybe we will, where Strax meets your atypical Centaurans, and they try to convert him back or something.
But there was Christopher Ryan with the Wesley Crusher-style boy genius from Series 4. Was that not good for you?
I forgot all about that.
And, well, you should.
Yeah, because it's not good.
He's trapped in the car. I couldn't possibly break the glass and let him out.
I woke up in a pile of my own vomit.
Wow.
Empty bottle.
You're not talking about the episode anymore, are you?
Oh, yeah.
You're just talking about stuff now, aren't you?
I don't remember a thing from that story.
I like his Kirk-like turn there.
All I remember are the "Are you my mummy?" joke and one's fetishizing of Martha Jones in the purple hoop.
I think you are not entirely incorrect, but you are playing that up a little bit more than actually happened.
I think if you listen back to the episode in which we reviewed that, Warren, you were pretty much silent for about 6 minutes.
That means nothing. I was reading a book.
Until there was a sigh of relief at the end of those 6 minutes.
Scary moment here that could have been scarier, I think. Right here, where the Whisper Man comes through river.
Yeah, that was creepy.
It could have been handled differently. I don't know. Perhaps because I don't know.
I don't direct
films.
Isn't that the one where they also made the unit dating joke?
Which one?
I think the first of the Sontaran two-parter.
It was.
So there you go. That's one more redeeming quality.
Oh, he's making references, everybody. He referenced Solomon. That's a question. Mm-hmm. Reference to David Bradley. Yeah. Here it is. Do it.
You will have other names before the end. Oh, there we go. Valyar.
Yeah.
Storm, the Beast, the Valyar.
So that's Storm Spunky. And the Beast. That's two X-Men right there. The Doctor is two X-Men on loan.
Wow. And one's a lady. So he does regenerate into a lady.
There's your canon for the Doctor becoming a lady.
Flarp.
He borrowed that from the Slitheen.
The Doctor turns into Halle Berry.
Look at convenient. That. Spare dudes.
That looks so much better than when they did it in The Empty Child.
Oh, yes. For like Constantine's...
Yeah.
...thing? Yeah.
That really broke enough. The...
It was also 8 years ago.
I know, but...
You complaining fanboy, Sean.
Oh, hush. I'm not a complaining fanboy. I've been told I'm an entitled... Don't drop the torch there! It's going to start on fire! I'm an entitled fanboy.
I'm the same way. It's like, close the door! Ah! What are you doing? Now I'm going to think about that for the rest of the episode.
Welcome to my world.
Okay. Hand in the door.
Ooh, she's suspicious now.
Yep. Oh, Clips.
Now, oh, Clips. I like Clips. Now this is the part of the episode where I'm going, wait a second, I don't remember this at all. And I watched this episode like 4 or 5 times in the week after it.
So did I. This is the Princess Leia meets the Ewoks. I skip by it.
You don't remember what now?
I don't remember
this bit.
See? So
there's a lot of other bits around it.
So 3 years ago? It won't all matter that much, huh?
Yeah.
How many bits from the five 3 years doctors?
Ago, we'd never seen it, so yes.
Oh, wait. 3 years from now. 3 years from now, I mean.
Yeah. I knew what you meant, Sean. I wasn't going to nitpick and pedant.
Well, that's what nerds are for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't do things like that in this podcast.
As Dionne Warwick immortalized in her song, that's what nerds are for.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Singing to a Star Trek convention in 1985.
I'm sure she was.
Mm-hmm. Stevie Wonder cosplaying as Uhura.
Sweet.
I think I'm a bit behind you guys, but that's okay, because they're just talking right now.
Yep, there's a lot of chin wagging going on here.
As you can tell, we're not giving a second-by-second commentary of what's going on.
Unlike Arnold Schwarzenegger, apparently that's what he does in all his commentaries. And I am doing this thing. Thanks, Arnold. I'm glad you're here to tell me
this. Is that what he's doing all?
I don't know.
Apparently that's what he does.
I don't know if I've ever listened to it, Schwarzenegger.
DVD specifically commentary. The Conan one I've heard. I haven't heard it myself, but I've heard that that's what he does.
That's
he
all,
says what's happening.
That's all that Brian Grant did for his commentary in The Long Game for the DVD. And so here, this Doctor and Rose are coming in a room now, and the other two people, I think Bruno Langley was one of them there. They're struggling to get a word in edgewise with Brian Grant just saying. And then here, there's a camera up on top there, and as you can see, we've cut to a wide shot here. Okay, thank you.
So does he think that it's like assisted for the blind?
That's
or something?
What I thought. I described video chat.
It's not as bad as the Robots of Death one, though, is it?
The original one, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one. I would have listened to it because Robots of Death was so early in their run that I watched and absorbed everything I could from the DVDs, what little there was.
It was so early, I couldn't do commentaries on my DVD player. Actually, I don't even know if that was a thing ever.
No.
I can't see why it would be.
Best,
especially since Laserdisc had commentaries.
Best commentaries ever, John Waters. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, of course. That guy's everybody's favorite gay uncle.
Yeah.
This is fabulous. I love how the name of the Doctor is spoken. We don't
and
hear
not
it.
Revealed. Yeah. That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the great thing is that they make it this thing that you shouldn't reveal. That's mm-hmm. the brilliant part. I didn't see that one coming. Maybe that makes me dumb, but
you all knew that they weren't really going to tell his name in the story.
No,
of course.
No. But
why would they tell us his name is Kevin?
Yeah, Kevin who?
I thought his name was Please.
Please who?
Doctor Who? Please. Oh, and I, for the first time ever, in the longest time, I didn't cringe when he said Doctor Who.
I know, it seemed to fit this one for some reason.
I can't remember, what was the one, it was at the, which episode was it, at the end where he's running around the TARDIS going, Doctor Who, Doctor Who!
Oh, that's
Asylum of St. John, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, Asylum of the Daleks, that's what it was.
You're right, yes.
Asylum of
the Daleks. Oh, yeah.
There's a little bit of reason for that, because he's wiped the Daleks' memory.
Well, it's stupid.
It is dumb, I agree.
It's silly.
I'm saying it's 10% less dumb than you're saying this.
It's a blight in an otherwise perfect, perfect story.
This has got to suck, wandering into your own tomb. I mean, it's better than being dead, I guess. But
I've done it once or twice. It's not as bad as you think.
Your tomb is your Lego room, for that is where you will choke on Lego.
Yep.
Several years hence.
Or, you know, step on a piece and fall and hit your head against your Lego Star Destroyer.
I am...
It's a freaking death trap, man. You better get rid of that.
No. Excuse me. I've been playing with Lego since I was 4 years old. I never.
So you're due.
I never step on Lego. I am an experienced professional. Thank you very
much. Again, you're not getting paid to build Lego. So
I'm getting paid in Lego. So, yes, I am.
And childlike joy. That's what
exactly. That's a currency.
The only legal tender. This mm-hmm. is cool. I like that he's not a corpse. He's this thing.
The vines and everything on the around the TARDIS are obviously a reference to Legopolis.
Mm. Of course.
Mm. No, the whole episode is a reference to Alien Bodies by Lawrence Miles. It's a ripoff, I tell you. It's not.
Lawrence Miles is, in fact, a ripoff of Ian Levine. Look so up, there you go.
Look up MacGuffin. The doctor's.
Look up Lawrence Miles and scream in fear. Does he still do that thing where he rants angrily about Moffat and reviews the episode and spits blood and then deletes it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No. I don't think he's done that for quite some time.
Yeah, well, Sean has background. Lawrence Miles would blog angrily about anything. You couldn't tell he liked anything about Doctor Who. And,
I know.
And then you just, yeah.
I was saying
like
that
many fans.
It wasn't me pretending to be Lawrence Miles. It was, but yeah. it was. They were terrible blogs, though. I mean, they weren't like critical essays.
Well, he can write. I'll give him that. But you know, but he's like most Doctor Who fans. I'm like, do you really like this show? Like honestly, because I can't really tell.
Asked a person on our Facebook page the other week, Warren, asking if you liked the show at all.
I've said many, many, many times how much I like this show.
Which is not much at all. I hate it so much now.
I don't think I've ever said that. I think maybe my play acting and I'm angry, so angry at Moffat, they're misinterpreting as me actually thinking that. I don't know.
Well, that's because you are the world's greatest actor.
That's true. I am the world's greatest actor. Even down to that over-the-top actor pronunciation.
Acting! Brilliant! Thank you.
Like Matt Smith is right now.
This is, yeah, he's doing a pretty damn good.
And Mr. E. Grant here.
Iconic. Look how iconic he is. Listen, if you could jump into Doctor's time stream, damn it, you are iconic.
Yeah.
So he's been redeemed.
Yep. No more jokes anymore. He is iconic.
He's on my
desktop.
The
actor is somehow iconic.
You do it, Shalky.
Shelky.
It's kind of a shame in a way that
Shelky.
That Richard E. Grant, that Paul McGann wasn't the doctor right now, and that we could have had a with Nail and I connection just so the fans would be happy, but the actual episode would have to jump through hoops in order for it to work.
And that there was Stephen making a Ruby.
What's he turn into
reference?
There? He turns into something else.
Paul McGann. There are
he turns into a Yeti.
I don't think there are enough people who care about Doctor Who and with Nail and I to really have that matter.
The Venn diagram is.
Not. I bet you're going to find some disagreement there. Not from me, but I bet
you
will disagree.
There's a Venn diagram. There is crossover. There's no question.
And can you name me a Doctor Who James Bond crossover movie?
Skyfall. Ben Whishaw is the Doctor. Everybody knows that. Come on. Easy.
Yeah.
Elizabeth. Featuring Daniel Craig and Christopher Eccleston.
Ooh, there's clips.
And earlier on, the subtitles even said second doctor, ninth doctor, whatever, to go with the audio.
Oh, book. You guys are ahead of me. Oh, you're at the Squeetastic part two.
Two, nine,
sort of Squeetastic.
McGann gets kind of short-sheeted for this, doesn't he?
He sure does.
I think everybody gets...
But he is in there.
Everybody gets a length of time representative to their run as the doctor on TV.
Oh, excuse me, I didn't...
Tennant doesn't.
I believe Big Finish is canon. Thank you.
I believe Big Finish is not.
So we should be able to. We should be able to hear.
Tennant is in here.
Tennant's time is coming up in the 50th anniversary special though.
And he is in here very briefly.
Oh yeah,
ever so like not even in face. Like,
yeah, you didn't even believe me at first. Steve.
I didn't. I thought it was a double.
Yep.
Nope. Well, it is. I'm sure it's not actually Tennant. Yeah. Or maybe it is. Who knows? They could have.
I think it is an actual clip from the library two-parter.
Yeah. Okay. It's a lot easier to composite and make you wonder than with these old ones where it's obvious.
Stars are
going. How many times
again.
Is this? This is like the third time? And
eighth, I think. Once again, Matula Oriensis gone.
they're not in E-Space, dude.
Yeah. Neither was
Maybe
Nyssa.
They are.
Nyssa wasn't are. Either. She's from N-Space.
They need to go back to
Learn
E-Space.
Learn your season 18 facts there, Chris.
Yeah, facts. Facts.
Do I look like Andrew Smith? I don't think so.
I think you lack understanding of block transfer computation.
Oh, I do.
I think everybody likes understanding of block transfer computation.
And that is precisely the point of block transfer
computation. Only Christopher Hamilton Bidmead understands block transfer computation.
I only say this because I hate the show so much, apparently.
This part where Strax turns is pretty awesome.
I know.
We see angry Strax.
Yeah, see, you watch that scene and you think that perhaps...
vaporized.
Yeah, perhaps that this can actually work again, having an angry Sontaran.
If you can explain to me what he was doing helping humans during a war in the 1800s, back in that episode.
How well, that was part there? Of that. That was part of that thing after the name of the Doctor. Was it the Snowman prequel?
Not the name of the Doctor. Oh yeah,
no.
They
not
the name of the Doctor. Good Man Goes to War.
That's after that, isn't it? Where they bring him back to life and they explain.
Yeah, it is. But that, yes, I think that was one of the lead-ins to the snowman, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But they don't explain what he was doing at the beginning of A Good Man Goes to War, helping humans on Earth who are running and screaming in fear from him.
Oh, it was during that space war because he was doing it for penance or something.
He was made into a nurse as penance.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, whatever. And he just blended into human, you know.
Sean, I like the way you're taking my tack. Ah, who cares anymore?
I'm not gonna because he did this. Because fine, whatever. Because it's the Pandorica. It's a magic box, magic fairy dust, whatever.
Because reasons.
Yeah.
More familiar parlances.
Or because you hate Stephen Moffat.
Tropes.
Warren, you are on Tumblr now, so I think you're allowed to use because reasons.
But I won't. I'm also allowed to use Super Hulock, and I would never do such a thing.
I think you'll find Super Hulock uses you.
Hey, I think you're probably right. This part's delightful.
Yes. I love that. I love Jazz's performance here.
Where she says, remember me, clever boy, or run, clever boy, whatever the hell she says. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, this bit here with all the coolness. You'd think I get tired of the same damn clips, but no, sir. I do not. More heroin, please.
Time. Yeah.
Brilliant. Ah, there he is, Tennant. Looking all pensive. Yep.
Oh, where is Tennant? Oh, there he is right there. Right
there in the corner.
There's Ten right there, yeah.
Tennant. Can't just shorten his name like that.
There's six, ten. Six, three, nine, four,
two,
seven,
five,
11,
three,
141.
There we go.
Numero uno. Ah, I love this bit with one. With uno. That's what I'm calling him from now on because he's Spanish after.
Onesie.
Dr. Uno.
Onesie. Nice.
Dr. Uno. Actually, I have no idea what Spanish is for doctor.
Doctor.
I love the fact that the TARDIS
El Medico or something.
The best thing about that TARDIS being a cylinder is that it destroyed several weeks of Gallifrey base. Not debate, angry vitriol over what the TARDIS had to look like. People were explaining, no, you don't understand, this is how it has to be, and then they were destroyed, utterly.
Yeah.
With Gallifrey base people or the TARDISes?
Gallifrey base.
Okay.
If we can have Sidrats all plain-looking, why not TARDISes with a alternate universe engaged?
In an alternate universe, Gallifrey base people are right, and that universe is a nightmare universe where the Brigadier has an eye patch.
Unity is strength. This is fab stuff here.
Oh, that's brilliant. This part is absolutely... This might be my favorite part of the whole thing.
Because
the whole thing being
me.
All of Doctor Who?
No, this story.
The reference to the Edge of Destruction?
Who cares about the Edge of Destruction?
I thought we were sick.
That's right. Who cares about First Doctor junk?
Warren, now.
That's called provoking.
Don't go, Matt Smith. You're too good.
He is so good here, and so is she. This is just fantastic.
I thought it would hurt me. Is that where we are?
Yeah.
Well, I thought it would hurt too much, yeah.
Yeah. She'll be back. Just wait, Stephen Moffat. Can't hold it back.
I don't know.
Yep. It might not be a full episode. It might be a cameo. It might be something brief, but we'll see more of River.
I don't care what you say, Chris, about Chase Doctors. I love this kiss. It's awesome.
Chase doctors, what? Oh, chased doctors. Yeah. Okay,
asexual doctors, not chased.
This is brilliant. And plus, a little bit here where he goes, what the hell? This makes no sense.
I'm pretty much in Chris's camp when it comes to this, but I agree with you, Warren, that it works. It just...
Oh, it totally works here.
Yeah.
Fits in so nicely. It's like a very fine Chardonnay.
This would have fit better if it was... Matt Smith's, like, 5 minutes before Matt Smith regenerated.
It works
perfectly.
The regeneration is for the Doctor, you know?
Yeah.
I think making too much of the River Doctor thing before the Doctor dies would be just too much.
Yeah, this is the best way to do it.
Yeah.
And it gives her a good send-off, too.
And I think they've learned from the end of time already.
They damn well better have.
Yeah, I mean, bringing River back would be just like trying to, recreate the beach scene from Army of Ghosts or Doomsday.
Yeah, that'd be... Nobody would ever do that. That's stupid.
No.
If Handy shows up in the 50th, which of course he won't, because Stephen Moffat's a better writer.
Well, I think you'll find it is actually Handy and Rose in the 50th.
It's Handy and Rose and the Ganger Doctor. And
have you been listening to Tumblr again? Because that is precisely the kind of balderdash.
Well, in the time between this being recorded and this going out, who knows? We might actually have details, but I mean. True. It makes the most sense to either have some sort of like flashback Dr. Rose thing or Handy Rose post.
Handy Rose may make sense, but it would suck. I would much rather have a doctor who hasn't regenerated yet, etc. Yeah. Like they used to do back in the day.
Yeah. Time travel.
Also, all my ranting about Tumblr is kind of ridiculous given the stupid theory I just gave about 20 minutes ago. So, who the hell am I to talk?
What I'm thinking is you've got Clara, you've got 11, you've got Rose, you've got 10, you've got Zygons and John Hurt to fit into.
And Daleks.
It seems like almost too much. I'm scared. Like, that's, you know.
And Gallifrey, probably.
You'll be fine. It'll be 90
minutes. And potions. Right. Lots of potions.
Somebody posted something on our Facebook page of, it looked like a movie-style poster of the two doctors and Rose and Clara. And, oh, wait, I'm talking over this fabulous part here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For the third time.
Talk away.
Didn't they say in the description of the trailer that there's some stuff on Gallifrey, or am I wrong about that?
It's surmised. Yeah. They just assume that, oh, Dalek's blowing stuff up. Looks like maybe like one of those little Gallifrey writing on the wall. Oh, yeah, must be Time War. That's basically the general.
Oh, that's right. They had those three pictures that look Time War-y.
Yeah, that's what everyone assumes. I stated that I think it's just a retelling of the Destiny of the Daleks, but...
Inside the Doctor's timeline is a real dump.
I don't understand where they are right now.
They're in the graveyard again, but it's tinted. It's like the Wizard of Oz. He's inside the Wizard of Oz.
That's dirty.
Dirty. Only when you say it. This is awesome with these guys. Other Doctors.
So Richard Herndl.
That was Herndl. I know. I got a Herndl vibe. Look at the guy who's Tom Baker, though.
Yeah, he's brilliant. I never noticed until you said it, but you're right. Yeah. The tilt is just
like
right.
The way his hand. Look at his hand.
That is exactly how he used to run.
That is exactly how he runs. Just got it perfect.
Well, and I like to think that Tom Baker got a little more time than most because he's Tom Baker. The best doctor who will ever be.
Silence to that.
That's the worst when people ask who my favorite is. I'm like Tom Baker and they just look at me like, who?
You just say Joanna Lumley.
No, because that's a bridge too far.
Tom Baker, that guy, 8 doctors ago.
Yeah, but as opposed to Joanna Lumley, that woman who was in a special that wasn't even related to Doctor Who, really.
I think Lenny Henry was my favorite Doctor.
That's being deliberately obtuse just to annoy new fans, and that's not fair.
Yep, good point.
Tom Baker is fair.
If you don't know who Tom Baker is, new fan, you suck. No, they don't suck.
It's just disappointing is all.
It's just that there's...
Because they're missing out on 7 years of glory.
There's people who just don't like saying Tom Baker's their favorite because it just seems like he's the default.
Yeah.
That's all. Well,
he used to be.
Yeah. They think, I really do like John Lennon or Paul McCartney. But I'm going to say I like, I don't know, Colin Baker.
Well, the thing is, if Tennant's your favorite doctor, more power to you. But he's mine.
Colin Baker would be Ringo, probably.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, cool stuff happened.
Oh, boy.
Has he just been hanging out in here? Like, what's going on?
It is a damn shame.
He's deciding if he's going to get the space suit or the space special.
Can you imagine if we actually didn't hear that John Hurt was going to be in this? And if John Hurt didn't go on the radio and say that he was playing a doctor? Because... I was surprised by his appearance in this, but I saw it, I said, oh, cool, they're going to do something about him being a doctor.
Yeah, because, I mean, the chatter was about him being the 50th.
Yeah, because it was announced. It was actually officially announced.
Yeah.
Maybe he's the 50th doctor.
It's a shame
there's nothing saying he isn't a future doctor that they know about somehow.
Well, Matt Smith's doctor knows who he is, what he is.
Right, but that he could still have met him in the future, or a future doctor came back and told him about him. Who knows? There's all sorts of stuff.
I find it quite amusing, Warren, that you, of all people, out of all the people I know, have devoted the most thought.
I can't help it with this particular thing. I just
you're obsessed with it. It's
this particular thing is getting under my brain. I don't know why. Under my brain. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So are we pro?
But not in the name of Timidwip. Now that is
pro credits saying he's the doctor, or anti credits saying he's the doctor.
I love it. I love it. I think it's cheeky greatness.
Yep.
Horrible.
Brilliant. Just a bit of a tweak of the nose there.
And I like it too. That makes you in the minority, Chris.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty sure I'm often in the minority.
Hooray!
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 So good.
Yay!
So good.
Yeah. And the doctor, John Hurt. He gets credited twice for the doctor. That's crazy.
Yep.
Credits are canon! That Moira is also canon. All right.
Here you go. Well, thanks, Sean. That was fun.
No, thank you for having me.
Hey! Before we go, I mean, obviously, you know, you'll give the website and all this crap, you know, the usual pluggery stuff. But hey, there's a convention in Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth, to be precise. The TARDIS Tavern is actually the official podcast of. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know exactly what that entails yet.
Oh man, perks! I tell you,
so many perks.
You have no idea what I'm talking about. Yeah, no, I don't know. We have to pay like everybody else. We have to pay room and board. It's the weekend of the 50th anniversary, and it's all sold out already. 1,000 tickets, cool. I believe.
Wow.
Nice. What's it called?
DFW Who Fest.
Oh, neat.
So, yeah, the stuff is popping up all over the place. Now they've got one in Alabama, and Sylvester McCoy's going to be there. It was almost as big as Gallifrey was last year. And if Alabama, if LA, why not Dallas Fort Worth?
I agree.
It is the fourth largest metropolitan area in the United States.
And I would never want to live there.
I always thought Houston was bigger than DFW.
Nope, DFW.
Doesn't matter. Let's keep going here.
All right. Where can we find you on the web there, Sean?
Look for us. Well, there's two. There's two podcasts. Look for us on iTunes or Google, if you will. TARDIS Tavern. And then there's the other one I do with my other podcast husband, Eric. that's the Doctor Who Book Club, which didn't get no loving when you did the Rings of Akatan. So
blame
just
Eric.
Just Google that. Or look for it on iTunes. I don't want to tell you the whole website. Who does that? So
nerds.
Cheesy people.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Excellent. That's it then, of course, for the commentary series. But next week, we start the big old producer miniscopes. These have been in the works for a while. We obviously start with Verity Lambert, the very first producer. We'll talk about her era. And we'll also have a special guest in the form of one Johnny Morris, who's going to drop by and and who will talk with me and me alone, I predict, about yep. Verity Lambert.
That's Jonathan Morris, who wrote the... the book you were speaking.
Are you kidding? I actually referenced him without knowing that he was going to be on.
You bet.
Holy cow. Wow.
I know. It's all coming together, Sean. So, yeah, look forward to that. A good few weeks of fun stuff here on the podcast as we build up to the 50th anniversary. So, good stuff ahead. Anyway, until next week, then, I am Stephen in Edmonton.
Born in Vancouver.
Chris in Edmonton.
And Sean in Austin, Texas.
So long for now.